Welcome to the Media Ministry of Crossroads Church Aspen. To learn more about Crossroads, visit our website at ccaspen.com. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Steve Woodrow.
This morning about taking a step of faith, stepping out in faith, and what that looks like. James, I just want to read, bookend this before we dive into the details. Verse 14, James says to the church, "What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him?" Down to verse 26, "For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead." Folks, the reality of what James is saying is that it is possible to be walking dead. It's possible to claim the name Jesus, to say that we're a Christian, but to have a dead faith. Just like the body, separate from the spirit, is dead. Faith without works, faith without a vibrance and aliveness, is dead. And in our culture today, this happens kind of two different extremes. And it happens subtly, and every one of us have experienced, and maybe both ends of this swing, of what a dead faith looks like. One extreme, I'll call it over here, will be a spirit of religion. And this would be sin management. And the spirit of religion basically is this this idea. It's what got a hold of the Pharisees, and it's what Jesus spoke right pretty harshly against. And the spirit of religion, we know what it's all about because all of us have tasted the ugliness of it. And the spirit of religion is what has crept into the church over the millennia, right, that has presented something other than who Jesus really is and what church should really be all about. It's when man takes things into his own hands and the flesh comes through, and we focus more on managing our sin and certain legalistic things than we do on the spirit of God and stepping out in faith. A spirit of religion takes pride in what I know. It takes pride in the education I have. It takes pride in all the Bible studies I've done. It is satisfied in going to Bible study after Bible study and learning and learning and learning about God's Word, but never really stepping out and doing something amazing, right? It is not all about showing the works. Let me show you, right, what is happening right inside my soul. A genuine faith, right, is one that has to be experiential. It cannot just be intellectual. It cannot just be Bible knowledge. It needs to be the evidence and experience of the power of God, what God is doing, right, in our life. And that should bear fruit with testimony. The aliveness of faith is always talking about what God is doing. It is giving testimony to the reality of what God is doing in our marriage, in our family, right, in our life, right. It is talking not just about God, right, but it is talking about what God is actively doing. Okay, and so a spirit of religion is one way that faith can easily become dead, and before long, we're just talking and learning, and again, we need to be all about intellect and learning, but not letting it dominate and missing the aspect of stepping out and experiencing God in a real powerful way, and or just, you know, falling into sin management or trying to be a good person, trying to do the right thing. You know, it's a lot bigger than that. That is exactly why young people leave the church. It's because it's stinking boring. All they hear about is just do the right thing. That's not what Jesus, man, talked about. You know, he talked about calling people into the most radical, adventurous, glorious, incredible life possible, right? And that means leaving behind a certain life and staking steps of faith towards God and watch what he does. But unfortunately, we've sold the younger generations, right? And this is what the spirit of religion does. It gets really boring. Right? But God wants something a lot more. He wants a vibrant faith. But the other swing of a dead faith is way over here on the other side of this, and I'll call it a spirit of doubt. All right, and the spirit of doubt, and this is on the move in our nation, folks. A spirit of doubt is one that the life of faith is dominated by my emotions and my feelings more than faith. You know what I'm talking about? This is what's increasing in our culture today. It is a faith that is dominated by my feelings, by my emotions, and that defines my life. Rather than taking my emotions and my feelings and submitting them to God and taking a step of faith and taking a radical stand on what God says and what He has for me. And folks, we're going to dive into that a little bit because for me, we've complicated this whole thing of what faith is. We've watered it down. If you look at the scripture from the Old Testament, stories like Job and Abraham and others and on into the New Testament, right, is that we do not see what faith is even in the midst of my life, no matter what is going on, no matter how bad it is, no matter how bad it was in my past, I make a stand on the truth of God, what He says about me, what He promises, not on what I feel about God. So I just want to be very clear. I'm going to come back to it. Right? If you are down deep inside, if there's disappointment with God, if there's bitterness with God, if He hasn't pulled through for you, if something happened traumatic in your past and you are still wrestling with God, how could you allow that to happen to me? And you're holding on to that bitterness inside your soul, I'm telling you what, you are in dead faith. It is impossible to let God move and set you free. Faith says, no matter what has happened, God, the gospel is greater, and I cover that, whatever it is back there. I might not get the answers. I cover it with your gospel, and I make a stand like Job did. And I wait, God, upon your promises of your word to come through. Right? Job, I mean, good. Look at the guy. I mean, his own wife said, God, Job, just curse God and die. I mean, brutal, right? And his friends come to Job. You must have done something wrong. You got to repent. And he made a stand. He trusts, he says, I know my Redeemer lives. Wow, that's faith. And I bring my emotions, what I'm feeling, if I'm feeling depressed, if I'm feeling like God's left me, like He's not answering my prayers, if I coddle those emotions, if I let my emotions run my life, I'm in dead faith. Faith says, I bring all of that to the King. God, here's how I'm feeling. And you just read the Psalms. This is what David did. He was honest. God, here's how I'm feeling. And how did David end every psalm? He went to worship. He went to worship. God, I don't understand it, but you know what? I believe you. I'm not going to let my emotions, I'm not going to let my misunderstanding, I'm not going to let my disappointment, I'm going to let not my feelings, what I think should happen or not have happened, dominate and lock me down for what you have for me. So, folks, these are the two swings, either a spirit of doubt, of legalism, or a spirit of doubt that move us and lock us into a dead faith. And, boy, it's happened subtly to all of us. And, but, man, when we wake up to realize that, you know, this is really not that complex. It is coming to the King with all of that. And faith is not focusing on my circumstances, not on the storm around me, but it's focusing on Him. And if that is hard for me, and again, folks, don't get me wrong here, there is a healthy process of dealing with my past, kinds of things. And in our church, we have the Regen process. We have a Renew, all these wonderful ministries that are walking with people. What I want to say to you is get free at all costs. We have watered down the life that any of us can live, no matter the darkness and the battle behind me. We've watered down what God offers us, an abundant, free life. Listen carefully. He did not create us to have two battlefronts. He didn't create us and come and save us to battle, always still battling stuff behind me and try to be battling stuff ahead of me. He came to set us radically free of everything behind me, to cover it with the gospel. The gospel is greater than any darkness we've ever experienced. Faith says, in the midst of my emotion and my struggle, is God, I come back to you, I preach the gospel myself, you are greater, your forgiveness and mercy is greater than anything that happened to me, shame, guilt, whatever back here, I cover that, I'm moving forward. And this is exactly what Paul did, right? Philippians 3 is exactly where we're to be. Paul says, I do not look behind me any longer. I set my course ahead. I am forward focused. And the battle's ahead, so I'm ready to step into other people's battles and the battles that continue to come my way from a forward movement. But I'm telling you, where so much of the church is we're stuck in that no man's land of still battling stuff behind and trying at the same time to battle forward. That is a dead faith. That is a faith that is crushed. All that is in me, if you think you can just sweep something under the rug, I can promise you the enemy's going to bring it back. Just sweeping something under the rug in the past will not set me forward. I can't just say, oh, I'm not going to deal with that and I'm going to move forward. No. The gospel needs to be applied. The blood of Jesus needs to cover that. And this is where faith comes in. At some point in the healing process, at some point, I have to make a faith decision based on truth. What is true about God and me? And at some point, I have to make a commitment to step in. God, I'm with you. What you say about me and what you say about my past. And that is where the freedom comes. And we all need, this is what the church is about. We need to journey with each other. I plead with you. If you're looking back, if you're held back, please step into one of these re-engage. We've got Regen. We've got some great stuff, Renew Ministry going on here to journey and get free. Get free. And I think too, you know what? We're always just going to kind of limp through life. That is a lie. Jesus never said that. And we never see it. Scripture, they have a lot worse than any of our baggage in the past. They got plenty of stuff. And the gospel was sufficient to cover that. By the grace of God, so that they can live forward with what God has. Because God has battles ahead for us to fight. And if I don't have the testimony of what God has done behind, I'm not going to be strong enough to stand when the battle comes forward. And so where we should grow to, and why this happens easier and quicker for some and not for others, only the Lord knows. What is important that the church provides a place of grace for people all on the spectrum to journey and get to that place of freedom and to walk alongside people to get there, right? But it is to simply move into a place of faith where it is an active faith. And when I do look behind, whatever the trauma, whatever the shame or whatever it is I look at it as a testimony. Let me tell you what God has done. Let me tell you how the gospel set me free from what's back here. Because see, it's testimonies that build our faith. Testimonies build our faith. And that's why when we sat there the first day in that training with these Muslim guys, they just began the day with testimony. And these guys would just start sharing. This is what God has done. Let me tell you what God has done. Let me tell you about this village we prayed for. Let me tell you about this whole family that came to Jesus. Let me tell you about this family we got to baptize. Let me tell you about the persecution that came and kicked me out of my house. I mean, unbelievable. What does that do? It just raises, I mean, it's just like you can feel it. It raises the level of faith in the room, right? And people just, right, it rocks us out of just our comfort zone and out of our weak expectation of what God can do and what he wants to do. He wants so much more for you than you and I can ever think. Again, that's what, Ephesians 3:20, right? Now to him who's able to do what? Exceeding abundantly. Beyond what we could ask or even imagine, right? That's our God. So what he has for us is an active faith. And so what I want to do in just the closing minutes is just give you a few things out of James 2 and answer this question of how do I know in my life if faith, if my steps, if my good works, if my actions are by faith or by the flesh? How do I know if faith is working in my life versus just my flesh? Just me doing what I think is right. And there's a big difference between those folks. Right? A huge difference between me just doing the right thing versus me doing something by faith. That's another huge lie, misunderstanding in the church. That if I just do the right thing, that's by faith. Not necessarily. Doing it by faith is a whole personal engagement with God. Because doing the right thing might be not the thing God wants you to do. He wants this other right thing for you to do, right? So here we go. I'm going to give you five things to help us out with this. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to him, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. First thing, faith that is working is by grace and not by guilt. Faith that is working is by grace, not by guilt. Now, those two words are common words, but I want to go a little deeper just so you understand what I mean by that. Is my motivation needs to be grace. And folks, this is a fine, fine line. I'll just give you one simple example. Somebody invites you over for dinner, gives you a great meal, you have a great time. You go home, you're like, oh, we should invite them. We need to have them over for dinner because they had us over for dinner. What's the motivation? That's guilt. That is trying to earn something. That motivation is wrong. And just apply that to anything we do in any relationship, right? That is not by faith. Grace would say, man, what a great time we had with them. Man, you want some more fellowship with them? Man, let's try to get together with them and have some more fellowship. See the difference? And those are deep and subtle things in a lot of decisions that we make, right, in our lives. But I want to go even deeper in the sense that James says that, man, what kind of faith is it if the church comes together and people's needs are not met? First, let me just say, I commend you, Crossroads Church. I hear constantly, even we had a tough memorial service yesterday, the number of you that went into action and served the needs of both of these families coming in from out of town was massive. And I hear about financial needs, clothing, you go down the list. It is awesome. Way to go, church. But what we want to do is go further, right? And deeper. And what James is saying is when faith is at work, listen carefully to me. This was probably the most convicting piece of this for me as I thought through this in my own life. But what James is saying is when faith is working and not the flesh, is that the flesh, it works and it just wants to meet when needs are put before us. Like, okay, let's get that need met because that's what we do. Or you're a friend, or I need to meet your need. When faith is at work, listen carefully, what happens is I want to know what your real need is. I want to get below the surface and I'm going to take the time to pray with you and get with you and find out what do you really need. Because oftentimes, you know what? Is that sometimes people, we don't know what we really need. And oftentimes the real need is not met, and the real need is only going to be met when faith is active and we come with an attitude of, God, what do they need? How do you want to meet those needs? It might not be a physical thing, or it might be a physical and a spiritual thing. But folks, this has to come alive because we all, every one of us right now, we have people close to us, maybe children, maybe a spouse, maybe for sure friends and other acquaintances that we have. And you know what? We don't know what they really need. We're relating to them. We're having friendship with them. And we're not really meeting their real needs. Why? Because we're not operating with faith. We're not coming with that love that churns from Jesus to really want to get below the surface and to see that soul come alive and see their real needs met. Oh, we might have a feeling like something's not right there. But we're too chicken to take a step of faith into their life and ask them and dig a little deeper and maybe say some kind of hard things to them that need to be said. We're not willing to take the risk in these relationships to really maybe uncover something that might be a real need. And folks, just apply this to marriage. This is where it gets really convicting, isn't it? Husbands, do you know your wife's real needs? Would she say, if she was completely honest, that my husband knows my heart, knows my needs? Would she say that he is loving me the way I need to be loved? And vice versa. Folks, this is by faith. This doesn't come naturally. In our world of altruism, right, of causes and being, you know, let's go fix this. Let's knock out polio. Let's do these things. All that is good. But what does Jesus say in John 15:5? He says, without me, you can do nothing. John 15:5 says, the fruit that lasts, the fruit that God takes note of, the good works that God takes note of, are only by faith. If Jesus and faith are left out, it doesn't matter how big and how glorious a cause it is. It doesn't matter how wonderful it does and the impact in the world. In God's eyes, zip. Now, those are bold words. But Jesus over and over again made this very clear, is that we're to make sure that my motivation, what I do, it's by faith. So my philanthropy, my causes, my giving money, my supporting this, it needs to be by faith. And boy, there's a fine line, isn't there, in the sense of why am I doing this? Again, back to grace. Is it grace? Is it faith that's pushing me out to do this? Very important, rather than the flesh. So let's move on. Verse 18, but someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one. You do well. Even the demons believe and they shudder. Faith that's working. Faith that's working is a faith, folks, that is humble. It's not prideful. Again, two popular words, humility and pride, the opposite. But let me break it down, okay? I know my faith is working, okay, when it is humble. What I mean by that is it's humble, just what I said from John 15:5, in the sense to realize that, you know, I can do nothing of value without God. Now, this is strong. This is strong because we live in a culture that is upholding man's goodness. But I just want to be very clear, the word's consistent from the beginning to the end. Goodness. Remember when Jesus even, Jesus went back to the rich young ruler and says, who is good? There's only one who's good. And if my faith and my actions are not by faith in trusting in him, right, then that work. Again, no matter how good it looks on the outside, God is concerned about the motive. He will judge every work by its motive. He will judge everything we do by what my soul, why I was doing it. That's what he's concerned about, is my heart. And so what James is having a little banter here with someone who says that basically that they can have works and do some good stuff. I don't need faith. Isn't this where our culture is? Let's go change the world just by our human power. I just want to be very clear with you. Those good works, okay? Yes, they have value. In God's eyes, zip. There's only one who's good. And there's only one who makes us righteous. And there's only one who changes by his grace my motive that I do something dependent on him. We have in each of us this little, we're creating the image of God, so we have the capacity to do good, but it's out of fellowship with God. So those are not the good works that the Word of God is talking about. Ephesians 3:20. It says it very clear. It says that, 2:10, Ephesians 2:10, it says we're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. And these good works, God has prepared, what, beforehand for us to walk in them. Right? These are not just things I think are good. If they're not by faith, they're not the good works of Scripture. Faith that is working is faith that is, or is works that are produced by faith, right, that trust in God. Lord, any goodness that comes from me, it needs to flow from you. Right? Make sense? It's tough stuff. Let's move on. Verse 20. Do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works. And the scripture was fulfilled that says Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. He's not contradicting Paul here. He's just dealing with a whole different aspect of how do we know when genuine faith is alive in a person. It's alive when there is works alive. The good works that God calls us into in our life. And that anything we do is motivated by the love of God. For God's love to flow through us, right? And not just to think that I can go off and, again, do my own good thing. In God's eyes, as I said before, it's not by faith. And this is why later on Jim says if we do something that is not, we're not convicted by faith. That is sin. Because that's just my flesh. Again, I'm not the judge of how good that is. Only God is. Ultimately, only God. So what is this deal about Abraham? This is the next thing about how do we know if faith is by the Spirit of God or by the flesh. And this one is, it is worship, not appeasement. Listen carefully. Faith that is working is worship. It's not appeasing God. Okay? A big difference. This is what cults do. This is what religious people, this is what people do who are stuck in a spirit of religion, is they appease God. They go through the ritual. Oh, I know I'm supposed to do this. I know I'm supposed to go to church. That's appeasing God. That's not worshiping God. How many of us have grown up in a system where, and maybe even, that's what brought you here this morning. Well, I know I should be in church. Do you realize that's appeasing God? That's not worshiping God? You know that's not active working faith? Active working faith is I'm going to church to worship the God of the universe. Faith, trusting He is who He is. He deserves my honor. He deserves my praise. Regardless of what is going on in my life, I will give a sacrifice of praise. And I know by doing that, that He will be true to His promises. So much of what we do is appeasing God. Well, if I do this, then maybe He'll do this. That's false religion. Right? God doesn't play that game. He again is concerned and He sees down to the motive of my heart, what I want. He wants worship. He's jealous. Scripture says for our souls, He's jealous for our fellowship. He wants His children to come into worship. It's not just singing songs. Worship is a lifestyle, right? It's about longing for His presence, longing to be with Him. Do you get up in the morning and is your thing, oh, I know I need to get up for a quiet time. That's what they tell me. I know I should get up and start my day in prayer, and so I'm going to get up. That's appeasing God. It's not worshiping God. Now, folks, we all battle with this, right? And so the right thing to do is to call it out when we feel it. Lord, I want this by faith. I'm going to get up and be with You. Change my heart, Lord. Change my dull, apathetic heart, God. Fill me, increase my faith, God, that to give me a delight for Your presence. I want to be a worshiper, God. And what happens here, gang, is this is back to this emotional thing, is that if I have a root of bitterness, if I'm disappointed with God, and folks, these are deep, subtle things, right? If I'm holding, and if I'm just kind of all stuck in that God has not come through for me, He has not listened to my prayers, He has not given me clarity here, I haven't experienced Him, He hasn't, right? We just start complaining about God. Okay, this is appeasement. Then in it, what happens is I have no way to just experience the glory and freedom of God's presence because you know what? I'm there whining to God. I'm bitter. My heart is it breached from His. I'm really doubting Him. I'm doubting His goodness. And all I'm doing is appeasing Him with my worship and my study and whatever I'm doing. The most profound thing we can do, the fastest way to get to freedom is to move myself towards worship, a posture of worship. God, I don't understand. And again, as I mentioned before, this is what David did. Lord, here it is. Here's how I feel. Here's my emotions. Here's my feeling. But God, I'm going to worship You in the midst of this. And I just want to lay down a promise for you. No matter what your emotion is, no matter how deep your depression is, no matter what your emotional struggle is, there is no emotional bondage that is too great to stand up under the power of worship. Okay? I just want to say it again. We need to hear this loud and clear. Yes, there's mental disease and sickness, like there is physical sickness and disease. But just like everything else, the fastest place to freedom is worship. Okay? We see it all in the Scripture. We see the promises of God that He did not give us a spirit of timidity, a weak spirit. He gave us one of power and love. That has to be laid hold of by faith. It is when I take myself, no matter how hard it is, and this is why we need to encourage each other and walk alongside each other, and I bring myself to the altar, I take myself on my face before God, and I lay before Him my emotions and my struggle and my hurt and my heartache. But God, in the midst of all that, I'm going to worship You as my King. This is why David was a man after God's own heart. This is why David was able to strengthen himself in the Lord in the midst when he had no one around him. Everybody wanted to stone him. Because he understood this powerful principle. He couldn't let his emotions take hold in his life. Otherwise, it will kill faith quickly. And just, I'm going to get a little side note here, but I think it's important. Folks, there's in some counseling circles, and I've seen this heresy, this lie of the enemy weave its way throughout throughout the years. And it's this idea of that you have to forgive God. Let me just be very clear with you. This is in counseling books. This is preached in some by even some pretty popular people. But I want to be very clear with you. That is a lie from the pit of hell. Never entertain the idea that the way to get free, I just need to forgive God for what he allowed to happen to me in the past. God is perfect. He is holy. He is great. The thing we have to do is repent. I have to go, what I need to do is put myself on my knees. God, forgive me for blaming you for what happened back here. Forgive me for being bitter towards you. Forgive me for my ill thoughts of disappointment with you, God. That's the way to freedom. Always repentance. And again, that is just a thing that has sunk in because of our such a man-centered, weak faith, right, that's taking hold in our country. I just want to encourage you, all that is in me, if you still have battles behind, step into a body. Get victory over those in the back. If there's still emotional bondage, right, that is keeping you from worshiping, all these deep things, please step into church. We have amazing, as I said, we got Regen, we got Reengage, we got Dan here with counseling. We got all kinds of gracious avenues to journey with people at all levels, at all stages, until God brings freedom. He created us to live forward. He created us to live with that forward focus, as Paul said, right? I don't look behind. I'm pressing forward. That is active faith. And again, as I said before, anytime I look behind, it should be, Lord, thank you for what you've done. And as we walk through life and we get victory over more, it's more and more testimony. Testimony builds my faith. But if I get stuck over here in a spirit of doubting, my faith will die. If I get over here in a religious spirit, my faith will die. If I just focus on my sin management, I just got to manage my sin and do the right thing, my faith dies. Just a couple other quick things here. Verse 25, and in the same way, was not also Rahab the prostitute justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? Folks, such a beautiful story, right? Here she is, a complete pagan, completely living away from God. But what she saw was she saw God working in God's people, and she aligned her life with the people of God. She got out of being self-focused on who she was and all of her mess, and she put herself with the people of God and got kingdom-focused, and she got freedom, and she's now in the line of the Messiah. And folks, here it is, the lie in America is that you can follow Jesus and not be an intimate part of a local church. That's a lie. It's impossible. You got to align yourself with the people of God. You got to put ourselves with the community of God. It is in that place where healing comes and strength comes. Outside is isolation. Where there's isolation, there's darkness and bondage. That's the enemy's greatest tactic, is to isolate us, right? And so faith that is working is faith that rejects self-focus and embraces kingdom focus. God, I want to put my life where you're working. I want to put my life around your people, God, where faith is. And I will take that even down to a small thing, is, are the friends you're hanging around most, are they building your faith or are they tearing it down? I'm telling you right now, some has to change if you want your faith. And young people that are in this room, you have to ask yourself, what do you want? Do you want the way of the world, or do you want what God has for you, which is best, which is phenomenal? But it requires you locking arms with others who have faith to see God do something great, right? And God wants to. He has no limits on what he wants to do. Final thing, verse 26 says, for the body, apart from the spirit, it is dead. So faith apart from works is dead. Final thing, folks, is faith that is working. It is living by the word of God and not the ways of the world. It is living by the word of God and not the ways of the world. And folks, I plead with you. I don't have to get into the details, the struggle in our culture today, but we got people in the church flirting with the word of God. Flirting with his clear commandments of what a life of faith and blessing is, and we're flirting and questioning whether, well, you know, I just don't know about that. That will never, faith will die. in the midst of that, right? It is a full-on battle, right? Regardless of what the culture says, people of God, faith says, I stand on the Word of God. It's the living and active Word of God. It brings life. It brings blessing, right? I want to be on God's side. It's like Joshua, right? And Moses. As for me and my house, we're going to make a stand worth the Word of God. And it is a battle stand that, folks, we have to take almost on a daily basis, right? And so I hope you'll take these things, let them encourage your spirit. Remember the young man who was desperate for healing for the father, for his son. And remember Jesus makes that statement. The disciples couldn't get healing. Jesus comes down off the transfiguration and he says that statement, oh, generation, where is your faith? And the man in desperation, Lord, increase my faith. It should be something we pray every day. Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. And God, I myself make a stand, Lord. Increase my faith, God. Holy Spirit, pour out your blessing on your people, your mercy, God. Increase our faith, God. Lord, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would just reveal to us, even this morning. I know you have something very specific for every person in here, God. I know that you have a step of faith for each of us to take. Holy Spirit, move now. Bring that about, God. Bring it about. Let us take that step. It's not till we take that step, God, that you meet us in that place with power in your presence. God, make us people of faith. Give us that spiritual discernment, that spiritual sensitivity, Lord, to know when we're in the flesh and when we're in faith. Strengthen us, God. Pour out your mercy this morning, God. And your goodness. You have great things for your people, God. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to this message. To hear other messages or learn more about Crossroads Church, visit our website at ccaspen.com.